people of the world. This is The Brothers Talk with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm. Tune in each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or on our website to hear us, three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, as we give voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. You can reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And if you want to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. You can also get more of us by watching The Brothers Talk show on Millennium TV's M24 streaming news station. A big hello to The Brothers Talk family. First timers, welcome, and we're glad you're here. And we look forward to you joining us each week as we continue on this journey to promote critical thinking, positive self-image, and a self-sufficient community. It's almost 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, and believe it or not, the country is still only about 70% vaccinated with over 700,000 deaths. But there is a ray of light, as not only are employers stepping up and making both vaccinations and masks mandatory, but the courts have also backed them up. It's unfortunate that so many people care so little about their children, their elderly relatives, and themselves, but at least now there's a real cost for their stupidity. And the funny thing is, when you look at what New York City did with teachers and healthcare workers, and what United Airlines did with their staff in mandating the vaccines, they're all buckling under the economic pressure because they've been able to get over 90% vaccinated in under 2 weeks. But we shouldn't be surprised that once again in America, money not only talks, it walks. And now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Hey, family, thank you for your continued support. We really appreciate it. But we got to do, what more can we say about the vaccine, about the getting vaccinated and what's going on with this virus? I mean, now I think we approaching, we passed 700, we're at 700, over 700,000 people who've died from the virus. So I don't know what other evidence that people need that's going to get them to go get vaccinated. I mean, I'm just at a loss. I don't get it. But we need to get out of here and protect each other, black people. You're claiming that you care about each other. Well, show us by going out there and getting vaccinated and protecting each other.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, you can't say you care about the community and you don't put the community first in your thoughts, in your healthcare, in your lifestyle. It makes no sense. But, you know, we are going to pay the price, whether we take the vaccine or not. I mean, people are going to die. And maybe some of your loved ones, unfortunately, because of you.
So we're taking a one episode break from our series on Black relationships that we launched last week because of the madness going on in the nation's capital. Now, to our longtime listeners, it won't come to you as any surprise that we've been having some impact, actually a lot more than we ever thought we would on so many issues, because while we definitely created this platform for the Black community to be heard, especially from the male perspective, we had no grand illusions that anybody outside our community would be listening. But we've seen our influence on a number of issues, including being the first to push relaunching Black Wall Street and our focus on the lack of Black media hosts, the lack of Black coaches in the NBA, the ineffectiveness of the progressives, and the ineffectiveness of the Black caucus. So we needed to take a moment because we have to turn up the heat on a couple of issues that are going on in the nation's capital as we speak. And first, the media coverage of the Republicans' lack of support for all of the infrastructure and stimulus packages since Biden came into office is not only repugnant, it's repulsive, because what you have is literally half of the federal government in Congress, half of the 100 senators and almost half of the House of Representatives, who are not supporting anything that benefits their constituents. But I guess when you turn around and believe that your constituents are only the rich, then maybe they are actually supporting their constituents. But the truth of the matter is, there was a lot of people who are low income and middle income who voted for them. And the fact that the media isn't calling them out for not supporting those kinds of initiatives that could help them and their families is something that really needs to be addressed yesterday. And since nobody's saying anything about it, let us be the first to push the issue and say that somebody needs to call out every Mitch McConnell and Matt Gaetz and John Kennedy and Jim Jordan, because they try to act like they are for the people, but their actions say otherwise. And media needs to be holding them accountable, unless the media are nothing more than what we suspect, tools of the rich as well.
Well, you know, Rod, you made a lot of excellent points there. And the media really is what's driving all of this division in the country. They're what's driving the media with social media. They're driving all the hatred. I just saw something on 60 Minutes where ex-Facebook employee said that, you know, she had some internal documents that showed that Facebook knew that they knew that people were spewing hate around the country, around the world. And they said that they're the best in the world at controlling it, but they're not doing it because of the money that they're making. You know, it was just kind of, it wasn't shocking, but it was sickening to hear. And this was an executive from Facebook who said that on 60 Minutes. And the thing about the responsibility, you got the media not placing blame, any blame. They're placing everything on the shoulders of the Democrats. This whole thing about January 6th commission, you know, the whole thing with them, it's like it's up to the Democrats to prove that these people tried to or didn't try to overthrow the government. They're not getting any assistance from the Republicans on that, and the media is not pointing that out. As bad as we need an infrastructure bill, and infrastructure as being defined is not just roads and bridges. You know, infrastructure cover a wide variety of things that impact people's daily lives. But the Republicans, not one Republican is willing to help pass the infrastructure bill. And the media is not pointing that out. They're not holding them responsible for anything at that matter.
The Democrats really don't do a good job of getting their message out and using the media, social media, what have you. They just do not do a good job there. They constantly let the Republicans define everything and get out in front of everything. And as we already discussed before, they don't even do a good job of checking their own constituents. You know, they're really their own problem here. They should be running the show, and they don't play to their strengths. As we discussed, 60 to 70% of Americans back their agenda. They should be out in front of everything. They should have the people backing this thing. They just don't do a good job, right?
And so we see over and over again that, as you said, both of you, that the conversation, the narrative is being led by those who really don't represent the masses. And it's always in that vein of allowing these rich, because that's where it really boils down to. I think that may be the real problem that we can keep watching, is that the rich are dominating the conversation and making up the narrative. And so we don't have that coming from our people. So the other issue that I wanted to really jump into is the fact that I believe progressives need to amp up the pressure on the so-called moderates, who are really Republican-like. You know, the truth is the progressive agenda, as you said, Norma, is supported by a significant majority of the country, and yet they aren't flexing that muscle enough. They seem to have Biden covered, but they need to tamp down on the insurrectionists within their own party, like the Joe Manchins and the Kyrsten Sinemas and any others who are out there still trying to push that old centrist Obama Clinton era of non-responsive, just vanilla and lack of a spine to get anything done. because they're pushing for something that nobody really wants. Nobody has ever said they really want the country to be down the center. We should face the fact that this country has always been much more liberal in its social concerns. It has been somewhat conservative because they've lied about what conservative means, because they tell people that they need to think of the budget like a household budget. Well, that's a huge lie, because no household budget is able to print its own money. So, you know, the government is never really on the verge of going bankrupt. They can borrow money and they can certainly lift that debt limit. And that in and of itself ought to tell people that they need not listen to people talk about being conservative with spending, when the Republicans, by and large, always drive up the deficit and then put the Democrats in a place where they have to turn around and raise taxes or cut programs in order to fund the deficits that the Republicans have set up, just like this latest tax cut. So, you know, they had no problems, and the Democrats went right along with them in allowing those 45-era policies to go through. And now the bill has come due. And so, like we said in the first segment, but you don't get any of the Republicans wanting to take any accountability for it. And now they just want to try to sit back and make the Dems look bad. But that's why we need the media to be more even-handed. But you definitely have to wonder why they aren't out there saying more, because that is news. And I think that's the kind of news that people would know if they were able to think more critically, but since they can't, they have to rely on the media.
Yeah, Rod. One of the things that's, I want to say, confusing to me is the Biden administration. And thus far, what they've done, I mean, I'm trying to follow what they're trying to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's disappointing. It's disappointing because you know, a lot of people voted, 84 million people voted for Biden because, you know, almost anything was going to be better than what we had with Trump with 45. But I'm not sure that this group that Biden have in there advising him, I mean, who's advising him? I'm not sure that they're the right people, because who are they actually trying to appease? It surely it's not the people that stood in long lines to elect him. It's not them. It could be Wall Street, but yet he's going after taxing the rich. So I it just looks like they didn't have a plan going in, and seem like they don't have a plan now to address all of the issues that the country is facing. If they did have a plan, it either wasn't a good plan, or they're not doing a good job executing that plan. Because right now, man, they just look like they're just floundering, and people are confused on all fronts. Like the way that they exited Afghanistan, there's a lot of questions still about that. You know, the whole narrative when it comes to the coronavirus, there's a lot of confusion about when to wear a mask, whether to get a booster shot, or whether not to get a booster shot. It's just so much information out there that people don't know what to believe. Because the administration, different people from the administration, they're saying different things.
Rod, you said it before. You know, where's Kamala Harris in all of this? With the administration, as you just said, Scott, floundering, where's the vice president at pushing his agenda, trying to get, you know, things moving forward, working with different factions? Where is she? She's supposed to be the future of the party. And as you mentioned, you can't find her.
It certainly seems that there would be the benefit of why he selected her in the first place is that, you know, she's supposed to have this appeal to minorities and women. And let's just take a simple example. You know, right now you've got half the country in the form of women out protesting in all 50 states over like these new attempts to roll back the abortion laws. And so, well, no matter whether we take an opinion pro or con, the bottom line is the vice president is a woman. And so the people who everybody says will be most affected by these attempts to roll back the laws are the women with color of the low income groups, because they'll be forced to put their lives in danger to try to get abortions. So, and what would Biden be able to say about something like that? But you've got like Kamala Harris, the vice president, who is a woman with color, who had meager beginnings, who would seem to be the absolute perfect spokesperson to come out and voice the administration's position against a lot of these laws that are being dredged up in Texas and Florida and other states. But as we said, she's conspicuously absent. And so it begs the question, what are they doing?
That's exactly my point. I mean, what are they doing? Where are they trying to go? I know where they need to go. I know that they need to quit pussyfooting around and go on and make that vaccine mandatory for anybody that receiving any kind of federal assistance. Whether it's you getting your license, you getting whether you're getting a federal ID, or you know, or you're getting some type of subsidy. You should be required to be vaccinated if you're going to be subsidized or get any kind of assistance from the federal government. And for them to be kind of just nibbling around the edges, you know, hinting that that may be coming. You hear people say that may be coming. Hey, go on and do the right thing. This is about the country. Go on and, you know, have some balls and do it and quit trying to pretend that you're tough, you know?
Scott, yeah, that's an interesting thought, you know, making it mandatory if you in any way, shape, or form need the government's help. That's pretty interesting. And, you know, I wouldn't discount that, you know, I really wouldn't. But, you know, I think there are a lot of legal hurdles that would have to go through, but it's a good idea.
So that's really, you know, our take on this. And what we're really trying to do is, as we said at the top of the show, and we say at the top of every show, is we want to stoke critical thinking. So we hope that we've given you something to have a conversation about around your dinner table, in your family groups, in your social groups, because we have to do something to show that we are not satisfied with the way these things are going. And so far too frequently in our communities in particular, and you know, we have a voice, we have the ability to impact, because they always are trying to undermine our voting rights. And so we also realize that we will do what we need to do whenever they try to take something from us, that we'll go over those hurdles in order to get it. But we have to start by being more educated about these issues. And that requires having the kind of conversations and getting involved at the local level. So you hear us constantly trying to implore you and trying to incent you and motivate you to get involved at the local level. You've got say on these things. You can talk about what needs to happen on your local school boards, what happens to vote for your local mayors, your common councils, anybody else that has your ear, then you need to also make sure that they're hearing from you. And so that's why we wanted to take this time to really talk about something that is so critical, because this whole infrastructure bill is really as important to the country as the New Deal was back in the Roosevelt years. And yet we've got a really ineffective government, even though we voted them in with the largest number of votes in the history of the country. We've got to make them rely on what that voting strength meant, and therefore make sure that they are addressing who their real constituents are. So now for our positive Black experience of the week. You know, last week in Tennessee, they got to the governor to come out and say that they were going to ban critical race theory being taught in any of their schools. But in New York City, we had a more interesting development. Scott?
Yeah, the New York City School District announced a groundbreaking curriculum change yesterday. Well, on the 30th, to teach all children in grade 12 through K through 12 in all five boroughs around about the history and the contribution of Black Americans. The initiative will teach children about early African American civilization, the Black experience in America, and the contributions and accomplishments of all African diaspora.
So that's an outstanding program, and it is the direct kind of counter, because we have to stop letting the narrative be controlled as well by the other side, who have latched on to this notion of critical race theory, because it is verifiable that all of these issues really just involve making sure that the truth is being told. One of the people who was at the forefront of pushing that nonsense in Tennessee was this white affluent mother who was trying to say that she didn't want her kids learning about George Washington owning slaves. She says that undermines them knowing that he was the father of the country and the great things that he did. Well, it's a myth, and it's a lopsided version of the truth. And your kids are actually going to be worse off, because at some point they will learn the truth. And at that point, they're probably going to push back and realize that that wasn't the only thing that you were lying about. So thanks again to all of you for joining us. And remember to join and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if you want to share in long form with feedback, suggestions, and questions, or show ideas, you can hit us up at the email, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. So that's a wrap for another episode. We look forward to joining you again next week. And as always, we appreciate your time and interest that we'll never take for granted. So until then, let's do better today, because that's all we really have.